Thank you, Brian, for making this staff that we're using as an example in our message today. I invite you to pray with me. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Today I want to preach from the subject, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? They didn't even have landlines, phones in Midian, and God called Moses. They didn't have cell phones, but God called Moses from a burning bush of all places and instructs Moses to go to Pharaoh that he can command Pharaoh to let God's people go. This is not Moses' idea, it's God's calling. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, is what the text reads earlier on. We often think of God's call as just for the Bible heroes and the Bible sheroes, but it's for everyone, everyone who wants to walk with God. God has a unique call for each of us, not just for the people that stand up here and are ordained or go to seminary, but for each of us. God has a unique call for us in God's mission to and for the world. It starts really by inviting the Spirit of God to transform our hearts. From that point, we may be led to our own home, we may be led to our community, we may be led even out to a foreign country. Regardless, it's likely to involve leaving the boat, stepping out of our comfort zone, and pursuing God's call on our life. Moses was 80 years old. I don't think there's anyone in here, including me, that's 80 years old. He was a fugitive. He was an ex-con at the time that God called him. He lives with his father-in-law, Jethro, and keeps Jethro's sheep. That means Moses is a shepherd. He's too old, he has a criminal record, and he has no credible leadership work experience and just doesn't appear to be the likely choice to be the leader of the children of Israel. So when the call of God comes, Moses gives every excuse he can think about. Moses says he didn't feel worthy in Exodus chapter 3. And who among us is really worthy? None of us, probably. He doesn't even know God's name. Who's it that's calling me? The people won't believe me. Moses is giving a bunch of excuses. He's not good with words. I don't even know how to speak. Send somebody else. And when Moses' objections to God's call on his life were all shot down because God uses a series of miracles to really teach Moses the truth about God, that God doesn't always call those who are equipped. I'm sure you heard it, but God equips those who have been called. And Moses realized the truth of this saying. I don't know who says that God will never call us where God's grace cannot keep us, where God's arms cannot support us, where God's riches cannot supply for us, and where God's power cannot endow us. This is really a powerful reminder that even when we feel ill-equipped, even when we feel unworthy, God's guidance can transform our lives and lead us to do great things. After all of the excuses that Moses gave, Moses does what the Lord had really called him to do. And in Exodus 4, 18 to 31, in verse 2, the middle of the story, Moses is asked a question, and that's the question that I want to focus on today. That's the question I want us to investigate, because that question and its answer is really essential for your life and for my life. The question that was posed to Moses is, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? It's a powerful reminder that what we perceive as insignificant and even what we perceive as burdensome can hold an immense potential to God's eyes. And what we perceive as insignificant can be potentially transforming in our life. Just as God used what was in Moses' hands for God's glory, God desires today, and I'm going to repeat this, God desires today to use the things that you and I carry for the greater good of not only your life, but the lives of those around you. Moses said, all I have is a rod. That's all I have. The shepherd rod that they used back in the day was probably made similarly like this one that Brian made, but only had a hook on it. All I have is a rod. He referred to the shepherd's staff. This was a stick that was about 6 feet tall. Well, this isn't quite 6 feet, but it's very close. Long, and it was used in a variety of ways by a shepherd. It was used to guide, to lead, and to protect the sheep. It was used to support the shepherd and to help him climb up and down the mountains, places that he led the sheep. It was used to defend the flock and the shepherd against an attack of wild animals and others threatening to even steal some of the sheep. Moses depended on the rod every day he lived. That rod, it identified Moses as a shepherd. When people saw the rod in his hand, they would immediately know, oh, there's Midian's shepherd keeper. That rod, it represented all that Moses possessed. He didn't even own his own sheep. He kept the sheep of someone else. They belonged to his father-in-law, Jethro. That rod, it symbolized his life, his identity, his livelihood, the rod that was in his hand. All Moses possessed, all he had was the rod that was in his hand, which was a constant reminder that he had never really reached his potential. Now remember, Moses is 80 years old. He hadn't reached his fullest potential. 40 years earlier, Moses had killed an Egyptian, and at this point in his life, he probably felt like he wasted his life away, only to be a shepherd. That stick told Moses, you're nothing but a shepherd. You're nothing but someone who keeps someone else's sheep. You watch over the flock of another man. Preach, Kenneth. Are there things in your hands? Are there things more likely in your head? Are there things in your heart that remind you that you missed an opportunity? Are there things in your life that say, you have this shortcoming, you have this failure, things like the past, maybe a sin, maybe hard feelings over things from other people, something you've said, something you've done, unforgiveness, pain, grief, sorrow. If I haven't come down your street yet, I'm heading there. Feelings of inadequacy, negativity, unfulfilled talents, unfulfilled dreams. Are there things in your life, like in my life, that says all you got in your hand is a rod? Natural abilities, accomplishments. Oh, you weren't voted most likely to succeed when you graduated from school. Guess what? Neither was I. Are there things in your life that keeps reminding you of the past? This is what you did. This is what you said. This is where you've been. Sometimes the things we hold in our hands can be physical objects, but they can also be emotions and memories or beliefs. They can both be positive and negative, and they often become integral parts of our life. We come to depend on them. They become our identity. Oh, that's just who I am. I'm a failure. That's just who I am.
I've got a short temper. That's just who I am. I don't know how to manage my account. They shape our identity. They control our actions, and then they determine our destiny. Just as a shepherd leans on a staff, we can lean on those things, for better or for worse. We look at some of the things that we hold in our hands, and we believe that those things are all that we will ever be. I'll never be more than a shepherd to somebody else's sheep. Oh, I'm preaching. But today I want to use Moses to remind you that we can rise above. We can rise above them. When Moses heard the question, it must have pierced his heart. Now, we don't have a transcript of the dialogue that went on there, so I'm just going to speculate. A rod is his answer. Just saying the words, a rod, Moses must have caused him to remember the time when he had a scepter in his hand. He was in the king's palace. His mind must have gone back to those days in the palace in Egypt when he was being trained and he was being educated to be a pharaoh. He may have remembered a time when the world was his oyster and he could do anything that he wished. He could go anywhere that he wanted. He could be anyone that he desired. But now, is nothing but a dry, dead, lifeless stick in his hand. Well, God knew what Moses had in his hand. It's the question that is asked for effect. The question isn't asked because God desired an answer. The question of Moses is like God's question to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Who told you that? Who told you that this rod identifies all that you can be, as far as you can go, as high as you can reach? Who told you that? It was a question for Moses. It was God's question for Adam and Eve. And I dare say to those of you who are worshiping with us, it's a question for you. It's a question for me. Who told you that? Who told us the things that we believe about ourselves? Ask yourself that question. Who told you? Who told you that? You see, some of life experiences can leave us believing we are failures. Some of life experiences can leave us believing that we are unlovable. Some of life experiences can leave us feeling like we're unintelligent, that we're worthless. God asked Moses, who told you that? See, the answer to that question has the power to change lives. Not with behavior modification, but with a heart transformation. Oh, I'm preaching today. God was not seeking information, but God was sharing some education to Moses. God said, who told you that? God asked Moses carefully to consider, because you see, what happened is what he held him. Y'all didn't catch that, huh? What he held him back from potential, held him back from greatness, held them back from the anointing of God, held them back from open doors, held them back from a way made, held him back because he was holding on to it. I didn't even have to say preach there, but I had it in my notes. In Moses' life, and in your life, and in my life, the things we hold often hold us. that rod identified Moses, and it also represented all the problems in his life. That rod triggered memories of how he used to be a prince. That rod made him recall the time that he had servants, but now he is a servant. That rod reminded him he was poor and he owned nothing. That rod, it reminded Moses that his life was filled with potential at one point, but he never realized it. But now he was a has-been. He was a washed-up nobody on the backside of a desert. Can I get personal?
Yes.
Is there a rod in your life?
Yes.
Huh? There's one in mine. You don't have to tell me, because I ain't going to tell you. But is there a rod in your life? I don't care if you're 15, 50, or 105. Is there a rod in your life that you've been holding on to that's been holding on to you? You see, we all, like Moses, can be influenced by our past. We can be influenced by our hurts. We can be influenced by our negative feelings. These experiences shape how we view ourselves, how we relate to others, and even how we see God. And if we allow these negative aspects to control us, they can hinder us from doing the work that God has called us to do. But by recognizing and addressing these influences, we can open ourselves to God's transformative power and align ourselves to God's will. What do you have in your hand? What are you clinging to today? Is there some attitude? Is there some activity? Or an action that has defined your life? What are you holding on to? What's holding on to you? Here's the point, and I'm closing. To Moses, that rod was nothing but a tool. It was a weapon. It was a necessary part of his life in his hand. It helped to support him, to protect and guide the flock, help him in many ways day by day, but it was still just a dead, dry stick in his hand. But that stick, when given over to the Lord, it became a living thing. It became a power that God used to defeat Israel's enemy. It became a power that God used to glorify God. God used that insignificant stick, that thing that's been holding you and me back, that thing that keeps you up at night, that thing that makes you feel like you're not good enough. God will use it to bring glory. Woo! Danny Bell sings a song. She said, "Ordinary people. Just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. God chooses people like you and me who are willing to do what God commands. God uses people who will give their all No matter how small your all may be, because little becomes much when you place it in God's hand.
So, Rod, I got a whole lot more to say, but I'm going to stop right there. It's my second sermon. What do you have in your hand? This is a beautiful stick carved with one of my favorite verses by Brian. But am I holding it? Or is it holding me? Holding me back from my potential. Holding me back from the influence and the impact that God has called me to have in this world. Holding you back from using your gifts, using your influence, using your creativity to snatch someone out of depression, to snatch someone out of fear and doubt. What do you have in your hand?